from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Well, good morning. It's the best day of the week. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, James. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Game 3 of the NBA Finals in the book. You said what?
Happy Thursday to you.
I thought you said happy birthday.
I said happy Thursday.
It is the best day of the week. Thank you. We should all be celebrating accordingly. Game 3 of the NBA Finals is in the books. The Celtics put it. Are we allowed to say that the finals are over now?
I believe we are.
Are we allowed to do that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't literally, they are not over.
Yeah, but I feel like we've already printed the shirts, the championship shirts for Jesse.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't literally do that because I'm too superstitious.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a little stitious. I am superstitious. So I would never do that to a friend. But to me, just based on everything you and I were there through two games. There are people who correctly said, well, no, it's not over. They just held serve. Series doesn't start until the road team wins a game.
It started.
The finals officially started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 2024 NBA Finals. We are officially here. It looked over through two games. And last night, Dallas comes out hot, as you thought they would. And it was, okay, there's a little intrigue here. It's Boston with no Porzingis. They're getting punched in the mouth on the road. And then they just methodically, calmly, just work their way back into the game. It stayed close for a while. Second half starts. They start to pull away. They pulled away big time in the third quarter. And then you saw Dallas make their big comeback in the fourth and make things interesting. But in Boston, nope. It was close late. Didn't matter. Boston out executing. Luka melting down. This has been Boston's series. And if you had any doubts about the finals being figuratively over, I think they got a race last night.
Oh, I think so, too. And you know what? I was watching that first quarter, and Dallas takes a big lead. I think it was 24-12, mm-hmm. right? Jaylen Brown gets a breakaway and finishes in transition. And then Tatum throws up a three-pointer. It, like, skips off the front of the rim, hits the back of the rim, shoots way up in the air, looks like it's going to miss, and then boom, falls through the hoop. And it's like, oh, game over.
Yep.
Done deal.
Yep.
Like, if that's how things are going to go tonight, this thing is over, and they just are such a high-quality team from top to bottom. It's one of the better teams we've seen constructed in a while, and I think this team is going to be tough. It's going to be tough to stop them from winning multiple championships at this point.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't look around the West and say, oh, man. And maybe, you know, OKC in the next couple of years gets there. Maybe the Timberwolves make a couple of moves and really get over that hump. Maybe it's the Kings. I don't know. But I think you look around the West right now, and I think you're right. I don't, barring some kind of injury to one of their stars or to one of their key role players. I just don't know who's matching up with Boston in either conference for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, we got 35 points from Kyrie Irving. Oh man, Kyrie's got to play better. Okay, well he did.
Yep.
Luka, 27, 6 and 6. Granted, he was a mess. We'll get to that. 1 for 7 from 3 for him. Derek Lively, 11 points, 13 rebounds. Hey, that's kind of what you've been waiting on. Daniel Gafford, 3 for 3 from the field. He had 6 points and 3 rebounds. Like, you just kind of been waiting for those bigs to be effective, and you started to see him be more effective with no Porzingis. And Boston just slowly, methodically kind of started figuring it out. And this is just, I saw a lot of, and I fall into this group, I saw a lot of Boston's haters are being silenced.
Mm.
And I was never a Boston hater. I don't care that much. They're just kind of a historic team. That's how I view them. I don't have any animosity toward them.
Yeah, I don't either.
So it's never been a hatred, but it's been like, yo, we have a long track record of them not being able to get over the hump, and that is just how sports goes. Until you get over the hump, people aren't going to go, oh, well, they're for sure going to win the title. But looking back in retrospect, if you had known, A, all that stuff that plagued them, end-of-game situations, Jaylen Brown turning it over, Jason Tatum turning it over, role players kind of going cold through three or four games at a time, if you knew that none of that, you would go, oh, Boston is definitely winning the title then. Because they're that much better than everybody.
Yeah, it's just so hard to predict how a team is going to react, especially a team that's already shown you in the past that they don't react well to it.
Yeah.
And to see them finally figure it out. And, you know, I think a lot of this is just, it's the right time for their players. Like, yeah. This is for Tatum and Brown. They've got to the point in their careers where they're finally ready
mm-hmm.
for all that comes with going to the NBA Finals. And not only that, but all that comes with winning an NBA Final.
Yeah.
Just, it's really, really difficult. And the stress and pressure of everything, it gets to the best of people. And so to see them finally figure out how to get through, how to become a commanding team, a team that is not allowing anyone else to dictate yes. who and what they are. This is their run. It's mm-hmm. no one else's run. And I don't think it matters who they played all the way up through. Like, I don't think there was a team in the Eastern Conference that could have competed with them.
Nope.
And I'm not really convinced that there's a team in the West that could have taken them down either.
No, and you look at the Knicks were the popular team, yeah. especially after they'd gone up 2-0 on the Pacers. And OG Anunoby was still healthy and... And or I guess he did he get hurt in game 2 or 5 of this? Whenever OG Anunoby got hurt. But before that, it was like, oh, this Knicks team kind of scrappy. They play good defense. They rebound. And A, you could see Boston kind of caving to a team of dogs like that. But that's not this version of the Celtics.
No.
This version of the Celtics was going to impose their will on whatever team stood in front of them. Because like you said, it's kind of their time. And you saw Jason Tatum last night. Oh, how can he finally start shooting well? And he did. 31 points last night. He did go 4 of 13 from 3. I think he started 4 of 5 or 4 of 6.
Hmm.
He started really hot from beyond the arc and cooled off considerably. Yeah, in the first half, he went... first quarter, he was 2 for 4, went 3 for 8 in the first half, and then went 1 for 5 in the second half. But still, 4 for 13 from 3. He had 31 points, 6 boards, 5 assists. And then you had Jaylen Brown, 30 points, 8 boards, 8 assists. Derek White, 16 on 4 of 9 from 3. Al Horford hit a couple of big threes. Like, what are you going to do, man? Jrue Holiday, another game with no turnovers. 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 9 points, no turnovers for Jrue Holiday.
Yeah.
Sam Hauser had to play? Didn't matter. 3 of 4 from 3 for Sam Hauser. Xavier Tillman had to play? Nah, didn't matter. 11 minutes. Get him in, get him out.
Yep. I think it's, if you look at that too, where these guys that stepped up for Boston off the bench just came in and did their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Dallas didn't get. Lively was really good off the bench, but man, what happened to Tim Hardaway Jr.? Like, what exactly happened to him,
dude,
as a player? Just like,
I have no idea.
And you know, they've got Josh Green just like totally ineffective, like did mm-hmm. nothing. And I know he's in there to play defense, but like, you can't just go through the motions in a game. I mean, you can't play 22 minutes and have 3 points. And like, this is one of the things. Even, you know, Jaden Hardy comes in and plays less than 4 minutes. He's a mad chucker, and he takes one shot. They just felt like a team that is just missing a bunch of pieces, and they feel like the incomplete team that we thought they were. they just made it to the finals.
Yep.
And now you're seeing what that looks like in the finals against a complete team. A team. And again, mm-hmm. I think it should be like the 26, 27-year-old Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. Like mm-hmm. these guys are in their sixth and, well, seventh and eighth season. Tatum's in his seventh and, he's in his seventh and Brown's in his eighth season. This is when guys usually come in and win a title. And for that matter, Luka will probably get there eventually as well. He's still a player who's in his, you know, sixth, seventh NBA season. He's still got time to improve and to get there, but this is just a dismantling in the finals, and I don't think this is going to last very long at all.
Yeah, I no longer subscribe to the, oh, well, this is just this team's first run, they'll be back, because that's not necessarily the case.
Oh, no.
So I don't want to pencil the Mavs in as a finals team a bunch of times in the next 10 years. But I don't feel any differently. You hit the nail on the head just now. I don't feel any differently about the Mavs now than I did going into the series.
No.
They're just getting obliterated by a way better team. And I think you're seeing the inexperience of playing in the finals. I think you're seeing Luka, who was really bad last night, and we'll get to him. But I think you're seeing Luka on the fly trying to figure out, when do I facilitate? When do I take over? And he had started to figure that out kind of throughout the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But that pressure gets ramped up when it's the finals. And that pressure gets ramped up when you're down 1-0 and then 2-0. And you're looking across and going, oh, that's a way better team. Their role players are way better. Let's see. It's me and Kyrie. And then it's, they got the next like five or six best guys.
Yeah.
And I understand why, if you're that level of player, if you're on Luka Doncic's level, you're going to go, hey, I need to take over the series. I need to be the one that drives this. But there's a balance there. And I think we've seen Jason Tatum strike that balance really nicely of, I need to go score, but also I need to facilitate. I need to play make. And it's just really clear that Luka doesn't trust his dudes right now.
It's hard for him as a player. Like, we've talked about this before, but like, when the going gets tough, most players regress to who they are.
Yeah.
Like, realistically who they are. And I think Luka had made some major strides, but as we've gotten deeper and deeper into this series, he's gone from, like, I remember so specifically that, you know, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about him against Minnesota Timberwolves, he had fully found his joy. He was embracing mm-hmm. the opportunity to go play for a title. He was embracing the relationships with officials. He was smiling. He was having a good time. As soon as things got tough in this series, it's right back to who he was. And that's really difficult. The yelling at officials, the complaining the whole time, the just lazy play.
The offense that was moving the ball and playing so effectively, turning into Luka getting into the lane, working to get into the lane, and then pivoting and running into people to try and draw a foul, and then throwing up a bad shot, and then turning and looking like, where's my foul?
Oh, yeah.
Dog, if you want to try and make a point in November, fine. It's game three of the finals.
Go play.
You have to play through it. It's a thing I will never understand. And I will never understand this, because I've never played at any kind of competitive level of basketball that even is in the same universe, whatever, of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a professional athlete. They are competitive on a level that I don't understand. But at the same time, I've never understood why, if you're Luka, or any, he's not just Luka, any player that's constantly on the refs, why you would not just go, okay, I'm not getting that call tonight, acting accordingly. I just know that I'm not going to get that call. And he lets him take... Mike Brown talked about the Kings doing that this year.
Oh, yeah.
A couple times, he's like, yeah, I think we let the officials take us out of the game.
No reason.
It's like I said, I don't understand. I'm not out there. I'm sure there's more going on than I can comprehend. But as an outsider just watching, it's like, hey, bro, just go play.
Yeah.
You're not getting that call tonight. Yes, you got fouled. Everybody can see you got fouled. But you're not going to get it.
And it's a touch foul. Just play on, man.
Right, play like, through it.
Yeah, just go. Like, this isn't time to complain. This is time to go become prime Luka, who goes for 40 and leads his team to victory. And it's just not there.
The Celtics, did you see the Jason Tatum dunk last night where he just got hammered. I think it was by PJ Washington. Washington literally is trying the chase down block thing and just whacks him on the arm as Tatum's going up. And you see the ref start to put his arm up and then he brings it down. And Tatum gets down, he turns and looks like that he got me, but then went down and took it upon himself to say, we're going to get a stop here and I'm going to score again.
Yep.
And that's the kind of mindset that I think comes with just kind of having been in this situation before.
Oh, yeah. Even the Jaylen Brown dunk early where he got the breakaway.
Oh, yeah.
He fully got fouled.
Big time.
Nothing.
Big time.
Nothing.
Yep. Whacked right on the arm.
Hey, that's what we're not calling it tonight. Go out there and win the game. Mm-hmm. Be the best basketball player.
We talk about it with baseball umpires all the time.
Yep.
Like, hey, that guy's giving the high strike tonight. You got to adjust.
Yeah, adjust.
These refs aren't calling touch fouls in the paint tonight. You got to adjust. That's just kind of it. We'll talk more about Luka Doncic next, because if you didn't hear what Brian Windhorst had to say after the game, you're going to want to hear it, and he may or may not have recorded a diss track.
Oh.
This may or may not have happened. I'm still awaiting confirmation from a source to send that to me, but if Brian Windhorst did create a diss track about Luka Doncic, we will have it for you next, right here on ESPN 1320. And also, a very special guest coming up at 10:30. We'll tell you who it is next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to join the show, I see a caller on the line hanging there for us for just a moment. Coming up at 10:30, everybody, Sacramento Kings legend, Ryukyu Golden Kings legend, Jack Cooley, going to be joining us on the program, on the live stream. So if you want to hit us up at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320, you can check out. Well, and on the radio, you'll be able to hear it, but you'll be able to see Jack. He is stateside during the offseason from his, he plays out in the, he actually plays in the league that Yuta Watanabe is now playing in.
Oh.
Yeah, he's going to play for the Chiba Jets, I believe, Yuta is. So, we'll talk to Jack about that, and it's kind of whatever. He's super tapped into basketball. He's not one of those basketball players that's like, yeah, if I'm not playing it, I don't care. Which, an alarming amount of NFL players are like that. I got to interview Matt Light, who is an offensive lineman for the Patriots during their early Super Bowl runs. Mm-hmm. Really, really good player. And he said to me, I was like, what's a typical NFL Sunday for you like now that you're not playing? And he's like, well, dude, like the first time I ever watched an NFL game was the one I played in. I'm like, what? You never watched?
That's wild.
That's not Jack. Jack is tapped into the NBA still. So we'll talk some finals with him and kind of whatever else we get into.
Okay.
Can't wait. I also just got, I did get confirmation. I do have the Brian Windhorst diss track.
Oh, let's hear it.
Of Luka Doncic. So if you missed it last night, actually, you know what, real quick. Hey, Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up?
This is Big E, actually.
Big E, what's up? Sorry, our call screener got it wrong. What's on your mind?
So through three games here in the NBA Finals, I just wanted to know who your guys' personal picks were for the finals MVP. We got Jaylen Brown averaging 24, 6 boards, 5.7 assists, and Tatum has averaged thus far 21.7 points, 8.7 rebounds, and 7 assists. And I got this off stat meters. Thank you.
Mm. Thanks, Biggie. Appreciate it. It's Jaylen Brown for me.
You know what I would love right now is for the media guys, because the way this works out, I'm pretty sure, is for... They hand out little slips of paper to a select group of media members.
Yes.
And say, hey, we need you to put down who your finals MVP is, right? The right before the end of the final game. I would like them just to split. Because I got to be honest. They both are great in different ways. And they've both been that way throughout the series. Tatum with the assists, Brown with the aggressive drives to the basket. Why not just totally mess with the whole narrative and just make them co-MVPs? Because that's what I think they are right now.
I'm out on that idea. You got to pick one. I do think it's weird. I do think it's strange that that's how it goes down. There's like 2 minutes left or 5 minutes left or whatever it is. And they're like, hey, who do you think? So what if you write down your vote and it's like really close and you're like, I think it's Jaylen Brown instead of Jason Tatum. And then Jason Tatum hits the series clinching buzzer beater. And then you're going to go hand the trip. That's really tough. That's a really, really tough move. But I get why. Like, I get why that happens. Uh-huh. For me, just to answer Big E's question, it's Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
Just so far. If Jason Tatum comes out and has a huge game in game four and they win and Jaylen Brown doesn't, then I think he can change it. But it's pretty even at this point. That's how Andre Iguodala got his finals MVP.
Yep.
As I believe there was a split between Steph and Iguodala, and then a bunch of other people had voted for LeBron. I think I'm remembering this correctly. And the Steph people were like, well, hey, we don't want a guy from the losing team to be the MVP, so we'll just change our votes to Iguodala so Iguodala can win MVP.
Yeah, that was strange.
In retrospect, not the right pick, but it's fine.
It's fine.
I get in the moment. That's the thing, is in retrospect, yeah, but in the moment, and that's why I lean Jaylen Brown, because it feels like Jaylen Brown for me. Like, it feels like he's been the best player in the series.
Okay.
But maybe in retrospect, and that's how at the time, like, it felt like Andre Iguodala was like this dude, and he's like doing everything. It's like, oh my God, what a series. Even though LeBron averaged like a triple-double. But and Steph had the weird first couple of games. He didn't play really well, and Matthew Dellavedova was the Steph stopper and all that, but then Steph was really good the rest of the way, and Iguodala was fine. And in retrospect, it's like, oh, Andre was not the best player in that series. LeBron was. But if they weren't going to give it to it, he wasn't the best player on the winning team. But okay. I felt like it at the time.
Okay.
Who are you picking?
I think I'm going to go with Brown for today, but with the possibility this changes. I don't know. I still like a co-MVP. I'm just saying.
That's lame as hell. Pick one. For God's sakes.
Today it's Brown.
Okay, thank you. That's where today I'm at. That's Brown. Where I'm at. We've been doing the MVP ladder. It's Brown, Tatum, Jrue Holiday for me. Jrue Holiday is not going to have. I saw Manny say that Jrue Holiday is right there too. Manny in our YouTube chat, and I agree, but there's a statistical threshold I think you kind of have to hit that I just don't think he's going to get to.
Okay,
it's going to be one of Tatum or Brown, and it might just be whoever has the better game four.
Well, that makes sense.
They're going to wind up being co-MVPs. I'm going to be pissed. All right, if you missed it last night. Brian Windhorst got after Luka Doncic, and it turns out he wasn't just doing a TV hit. He was laying down a diss track on Wax.
Oh,
and I got the MP3 sent to me. Here it is. Here's Brian Windhorst's diss track of Luka Doncic, who, if you missed it, fouled out last night and spent most of the evening trying to draw a foul to prove a point so he could yell at the officials. Brian Windhorst did not like Luka's game. And has not liked Luka's game this entire series. So here's the diss track I was sent today.
Luka Doncic has fouled out with 4:12 remaining.
So Boston, by getting stops, is able to get in transition. Great push by Jaylen Brown to attack in transition.
They're going to challenge it. He has never fouled out of a playoff game. Only twice in a regular season in his career. But right now, that's his sixth personal as they go to the replay.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect that Luka fell onto the ground there in an unacceptable position to put himself in with 4 minutes left with five fouls, and then immediately looks at the bench and says, you better bleeping challenge it, as if it's the bench's fault that he just made a terrible play. I'm standing here in the Mavericks tunnel. Over there is the Celtics tunnel. That's where the winners are. If Luka's ever going to be a winner coming out of this tunnel here, he is going to have to use this what's happened in this finals as a learning experience. His defensive performance is unacceptable. He is a hole on the court. The Celtics are attacking him. They are ahead in this series because they have attacked him defensively. And you've got a situation here where Luka is complaining about the officiating. They have begged him. They have talked with him. They have pleaded with him. He is costing his team because of how he treats the officials. He's a brilliant player. He does so many things well. They are here because of how he did. His performance in this game is unacceptable and the reason why the Mavericks are not going to win. He's got to get over this. And the fact that he came out after the game and blamed the officials showed me he's nowhere close yet. So maybe over the summer, somebody will get to him because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has. And that's where the Mavericks are at this point. They're never going to get to this tunnel with the trophy if he doesn't improve those aspects of his game.
Yeah, Windy got on TV. That is from a TV hit immediately after the game.
That was wild.
On the court.
It was wild.
Just frying Luka.
Okay, so, like, I have gone at a player in post game for something that happened on the court, like when I worked for NBC, right? And like something happened on the court, and I was like, okay, that's just unacceptable, right? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about a missed shot. It was about a flagrant foul.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the NBA Finals. That's not the biggest platform. That's not calling out the face of the league in front of everybody in like a wild way. Like, good for Windhorst for doing it, but because it's what we say. It's what we say all the time.
The key is he didn't start making stuff up. He didn't take stuff way out of context. He didn't everything he said. If Luka wanted to walk up to him right now and be like, "Hey, I'm pissed at what you said," Windhorst could very easily go, "What did I say that was incorrect? What did I say that was wrong? You may not like it."
Yeah.
And that's fair. If someone just went down and just walked me down with everything I did wrong on a show, I wouldn't like it, but I'd be like, I'd be like, "Hey, super glad you did that. Thanks, man." No, but that's the ultimate defense as a journalist, right? Is, hey, I'm
what did I
like
say
I
that was wrong?
Yeah.
Did I say anything? Did I call you names? Did I go at you in the wrong way? What was it that I said that was incorrect?
Yeah.
And I'll stand by everything that I say.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and do what you're going to do on the court, and I'm going to go ahead and do what I do talking about it.
Yeah.
That's it. But on that stage, that's pretty wild.
It was nuts. Shout out to Wendy for making that happen. Coming up next, we got to hit a break, but you're not going to want to go anywhere because the legend, Jack Cooley, is in the building. Can't wait to talk with Jack. We'll talk with him about the NBA Finals and what he's got going on in his life. I don't know. It'll be fun. Stick around on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. And that is Jack Cooley joining us from an undisclosed location. Played basketball at Notre Dame, played for the Kings, played for the Suns, played for the Jazz as well.
Yes.
And now the Ryukyu Golden Kings out in Japan. How much are you enjoying Japan? And B, is that where you plan on being for the rest of your career?
Yeah. I mean, first, I'm happy to be here. I know we were chatting, but yeah, I'm happy to be here. And yeah, Japan is unbelievable. I love it there. The fan base is incredible. The support there, the culture is just so kind and so nice, and everyone's so accepting. And it's just, it's the place. And to latch on to the second question, yeah, it's where I want to finish up my career. I mean, I've always said, even with this team, I don't want to leave the Kings, and I'm going to do everything in my power to get the finish with them. And yeah, I'm having a good time here, and I'm really, really enjoying it. I mean, I'm in paradise. It's Okinawa. You know, it's just this tropical island. I live near the beach, like, and I play basketball, so I'm not, you know,
tough, I love tough to life.
End my time there.
You know, Jack, we're watching the NBA Finals play out, but really it started like the whole second half of the season. When you're watching the way that the officiating has changed here and how it's being officiated, not only in the finals, but in that last like 25, 30 games, like, number one, how much do you want to play in a league where that's the way it's officiated? But also, like, how surprised are you that the league has made this dramatic shift and how it's played out here?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, and it's kind of going to stem into what's going in the finals. I think that free throws are boring. And, you know, it's just like, I don't think that they want these games lasting forever. And I just think that, you know, and the complaints to the officiating has just gotten, I mean, there's one player in particular, we all know who, and it's just outrageous.
Is he in the finals right now?
Yeah, in the finals right now.
PJ Washington, I knew it.
Yeah,
you know, classic PJ. And,
you know, it's just it's good to see, because I also think current players are like, man, everybody calls this current time soft, and we're just all babies, and we wouldn't last back in the day, you know. And I think the game is a physical game. It is. It involves some physicality, and I like the way it's being officiated. And you know, when you're playing overseas, you look at NBA players complaining about the quality of NBA officials, and you're like, if only you knew the dumpster fire we have going on over here and the elite refs that you actually have in the NBA. It's unique to see. It really is.
Is that the biggest difference playing overseas? Because you also played in Greece, correct? Italy. So you also played in Italy. So is that the kind of the biggest difference outside of talent that you notice playing in those leagues?
Yeah, the officiating level. I mean, it's just because the NBA refs have such a defined, like, growth pattern. Like, you know, it's just like you have these different steps you go through and you grow, and then you eventually get promoted to the NBA, and you have to pass these checks to get there. Whereas overseas, those checks, those lines are a little more blurred. And, you know, some of the officiating is a little lackluster. So that, and obviously the talent level are two of the bigger things. So, I think the change, though, in the officiating is good for the game. I really do. I think it'll help the NBA. I think it'll improve some of the grifting that a lot of people are really, really don't like watching.
It was so bad last night.
We are very much anti-grifting. Anti-grifting in general, but anti-foul grifting.
This is a no-grifting show.
It is a no-grifting. Like, in general, no grifting, but certainly no foul grifting.
Unless you want to advertise on the show, in which case I will grift all day.
We will grift if that's the case. Jack, when you're watching the level of play that we're watching from the Celtics, this is one of those just magic moments where a couple of guys figure it out. That's what it feels like. It feels like they're just coming of age at the right time together as a team, but also their two stars are sort of old enough and mature enough to accept what it is to be in the finals and how difficult it is to be there and how difficult it is to win. Is that something you're seeing? And how cool is it to see sort of the progression of players like this, like Jason Tatum, like Jaylen Brown?
I think it's incredible, really. And like you said, I think they learned quite a bit the last time they were there and they lost. I think they were able to kick those jitters. And now they kind of feel a lot more confident. But also, even in game three, there was a little stretch where Tatum was settling for some terrible threes. And his team is just so well built and so smart. He's got Holiday and even Hauser. They did such a good job of exposing Luka on defense to kind of offset some of Tatum's, like, I mean, they're not, it's Jason Tatum, you know, they're not, I'm not going to say that these pull-ups are terrible shots, you know, but I think that the whole team as a unit did a very good job of picking him up, and that gives them confidence to build off of, where they're like, oh, I had two bad shots, but we're still in this game, everything's okay. And then they can still settle down a little more and keep getting people involved. And that's just another sign of growth, where they don't try to dominate these games at the end and do too much, forgetting that they have really good pieces around them. And yeah, again, I think the Celtics organization, that team is so, so well built, and just, it really is. It's really done well. And again, it goes along with the timeline, and they're improving each and every game. So
it kind of feels like this is, and we're talking with Jack Cooley here, former Sacramento King. It feels like this is just kind of where this entire season's been heading. We needed to see Boston prove it in the finals, right? Quote unquote, prove it in the finals. But now that they have, they're just kind of imposing their will the same way they have since October, right? Like, this so much better than everybody.
Herculean inevitability. I mean, it kind of felt maybe if the Nuggets got there, they could do something. I think if the Timberwolves would have gotten through, I think that their just overall swagger might have really tested the Celtics. But I don't know. They're just so confident going into this and just cutting the head of the snakes off. And I mean, even Kyrie played well last night. So, like, you know, it's an inevitable, but this team is so good. It's so good. Amazing. And barring injury, they were going to make the finals. We all knew that. And it was depending on what team came out of the West and how healthy they were. And again, this is just kind of, it's some years they're just the team that's steamrolling, just steamrolls. And it's, that's crazy, just how it is.
When you're looking at the Mavericks, I mean, I'm not sure that they have a way out of this situation. I mean, down, you know, 0-3, it's pretty much over. But I also, like, going back through your history, you played with at least one of these players. You played with Dante Exum and his rookie season during your time in Utah. You also played with Rudy Gobert as a young player who almost made it to the finals here. Do you still pull for guys that you played with? Is that part of, like, the experience when you're watching the finals or Western Conference finals?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm so happy for Dante. Oh, he was in such a tough situation in Utah, and he's such a gifted player. And then I think he went to Cleveland after that, and it was still that wasn't a team where it was easy to develop and have success. And then he went overseas, and then people were like, oh, yeah, Dante's really good at basketball, and he's just dominating the EuroLeague. And then he comes back, and he's shooting so well, which was always his big draw, because defensively and his movements, he's so gifted. So I always pull for him, obviously. I mean, I know a lot about his game, and you know, I pull for him. And Rudy, I'm always a fan of Rudy. Rudy was so nice to me when I first got to Utah, and we'd go over to his house all the time. We'd play video games and we'd go to dinner and stuff. So those guys, I do always pull for them most of the time. My favorite player in the league is still Foxy, but you know, I pull for all the guys I've played with.
Are you? So I have a two part question here. I know you watch the Kings still quite a bit. When you jump on League Pass or whatever you have to watch games, are the Kings the team you tap into most?
Yeah, by far. Okay. The most. I have a, you know what, I'm not going to say what I use, because, you know, we don't want to expose our secret methods to watch NBA games and get it destroyed. So, exactly. You know, we're going to just, I watch the games. Yes,
I tap in. as a professional basketball player, I've always thought this is kind of interesting, because obviously your perspective is quite a bit different than me, who has not played professional basketball, FYI. And I've always wondered, when you're watching, are you just watching as a fan, or are you kind of breaking things down in your head of, like, this is what should have happened, or this is what they're trying to do? How do you go about watching a game as a person that's so deep into the sport?
It's crazy you say that, because with the Kings, it's different. I analyze how it works, and and I kind of break down some of the plays and how things should work. But with other teams, I'm just watching. I'm just like, eh. You know, sometimes I'll describe a play or not. But the Kings, I get very upset by some of the decisions they've made, sometimes with plays. most notably was last season when Harrison Barnes set a ball screen to switch Draymond Green onto – or to switch – it was – I still remember that when De'Aaron had the ball going downhill. What was it, game three? And then Harrison Barnes hit that ball screen and then pick and popped and missed the three.
Oh,
that's game four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game four. Yeah. I still think about that all the time. Why wouldn't you let the fastest player in the NBA just go downhill from half court? But, you know, it's just, there's some plays that I just think about a lot and break down. And sometimes I like being a fan, though. All the other teams, I don't really care. So, I just watch.
What do you take from your year here in Sacramento? Like, I loved covering you. Like, you and I had plenty of discussions in the locker room. You're a good dude. But you also played with a good group of guys. It wasn't like a highly successful team, but you had Dave Yeager, you had Zebo, you know, you had some vets, you had Vince Carter there. But what was sort of your favorite takeaway from your time here in Sacramento?
Just the mindset of the fans, really. I mean, because it's a fan base that's just gotten, you know, hasn't had a lot of success and has gone through some very tough times, but still the level of just positivity that they give to the players, even during downtimes. And that was really what I loved. I mean, it was just how welcoming they were and how kind. And like, listen, we didn't win a lot of games, and my DMs weren't full of people just being like, you stink. This whole team stinks. Everybody stinks. Like, I want you to tell so-and-so they're bad. Like, you know, I've been on other teams where, I mean, when I was in Utah, people weren't always that kind. They were kind, but they weren't like Sacramento Kings kind. And, you know, it's just, that was kind of what I liked a lot. And I still, there's so many fans that I still talk to. And like, again, when Kyle was like, you got to come to the show, I was like, I will drop. I was almost going to do this in the zoo.
Yeah. Yesterday. Dude, you know, it's like, just, I'm going to be at the zoo, like, but I will walk away from everything.
Yeah, I will tell the elephants to wait so I can go do this.
That's right.
If you need me.
How was the zoo?
Oh, it was great. I don't know if you've heard of the cicada infestation we're having out here.
Yeah, but, I have. It sounds terrible.
Other than that, it was really good. Athena had time of her life.
That's your baby.
Oh, my daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What is your favorite animal or exhibit to see at the zoo?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. I'm a big fan of the bears. We got there luckily during feeding time for the polar bears, and I watched a polar bear just eat a watermelon. It was the most eye-opening thing I've ever seen in my life. Whereas, you know, there's like, oh, what animal could you take? No one can take a bear. No one. The way this watermelon just evaporated in this thing's hands.
The PR, talking with Jack Cooley here, former Sacramento King, the PR that Coca-Cola has done for the polar bear is just insane. They will murder almost anything.
Yes.
Everyone's like, oh, it's the cool
without hesitation.
Ugh.
Yeah. Nice. And that's coming from a very large man. Like, Jack, if you don't think you can take on a bear, then I don't think Kyle or I could take on a bear.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, I'm anti fighting bear for
yes.
sure. For sure. I know that you're still a relatively young guy, so it's not like the end is near for you. But have you basketball career, I mean, have you considered what you want to do after basketball?
There are a couple of things. You know, I've had a few of members of different front offices poke at me and ask, what are you doing when you're done? And would you want to come do this? And, you know, that's an interesting angle, and I'm not ever going to take anything off the table. But I really kind of wanted to get into the media and broadcasting, that kind of aspect. I love basketball. I love talking about basketball. And I love being around the game. I know if I went cold turkey away from basketball, I would go insane. So I'm trying to think of something that I can do in that regard. And, you know, just something down that alley is really it. But again, I'm such a like future Jack will deal with this thing to a fault at times that, you know, but at the time this is the first summer where I'm like, man, maybe I should go to some of these classes the NBA puts on
and start
getting into it.
No, that's a good idea. You also had a front row seat to watch Vince Carter like put on like fireside chats with Vince Carter after every game, talking to the media. And we're all just sitting there like, oh, this is cool. Vince Carter's talking to us. But it was also like, look at this guy like honing his skill. That's what he's doing. He's like honing his skill the whole time. So, yeah, I think you would actually work out really well. You've got a big personality that like doesn't always come out, but when it does, I think you would be great with media stuff.
And you can get reps here anytime you want. Just come and
hang out with us. We're totally cool.
Thanks. Anytime you need a segment, Phil, just text me and I will tell the elephants they need to wait and I will come as running if you guys need me.
There we go.
What was your finals pick before the series?
To win the Celtics and the Mavericks?
Yeah.
I thought it would be Celtics in six, mm-hmm. is what I thought. I thought they would get one. I thought they'd get the second one in Boston and everybody get all excited. And they get the first one in Dallas. And then I thought that there'd be the Celtics would just steamroll them after that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the train of thought that I had. And it's just been, man, obviously this could have happened, but man, this is something.
Just methodical.
It is. They're just so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's at the end of the day. Like we keep discussing it and trying to think of different ways to package it. But at the end of the day, the one team is just complete from top to bottom. You know, their top seven, their top eight, their top nine are just way better than everyone else's top five, six, seven, eight, nine in the league, yeah. Let alone better than the Dallas Mavericks. It's really wild to see.
But the thing is, it's the Celtics. So you don't know how they're going to, you know, they could be lose to Miami Celtics or fall apart against the Al Horford doesn't get move up above the free throw line against the Warriors Celtics. You know, mm-hmm. It depends on what Celtics team shows up. So you're like, maybe Luka comes out swaggering and blitzes them and they don't know what to do. And the way that they've come together as a unit, just as you said, methodically just dismantled them.
Yeah.
And just everything you love to do, you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
It's just been like, man, that execution has been hats off to Mazzulla because this is the way he's orchestrated this dismemberment is incredible.
Talking with Jack Cooley, formerly of the Sacramento Kings, Yuta Watanabe, I believe, is going to play for the Chiba Jets in the league that you play in. Did that move the needle for you at all?
Is that confirmed?
I don't know if it's been confirmed. I saw the report that it's happening, but I have not seen like an official announcement or anything.
Wow. That,
Tapping.
I mean, yeah, it does seem. I mean, Chiba's like our sworn. We butt heads with him every single year.
You put them in the playoffs this year, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if anyone, they didn't make the finals and we did. So that's how that series went. And the Yuta Watanabe going to Chiba, that's something, man. I mean, good for there. Chiba's getting a new stadium. It's gonna be interesting. But we match up well with everybody. That is something. That is really something.
It's not been like there's no official announcement yet, but reports are that that's happening.
Yeah, there's so many moving pieces behind the scenes of like if so-and-so goes here, so-and-so's leaving, and if this and that, and because people don't like each other. Crazy. It's just like it's wild behind the scenes. It really is. I sent him a DM on Instagram, didn't ever see it. So I did my best to get it to my team.
The recruitment effort didn't work out, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So no, I'm over two. I shot a shot at the Nebraska guard too and just didn't see it either. So,
Japanese Steph Curry.
Yeah,
that kid's awesome.
Kasey didn't even read it. So,
boo.
Haters,
amazing.
Haters out here.
Your stats over there are pretty incredible. But it feels like you know winning is like all that matters, right? So, like how have you done over there? What has been sort of your highlights?
So we made the finals the last 3 years in a row. And there's this mid-season tournament that we've also made the championship two out of the last 3 years. So out of the six possible last championships, we've been in five of them. Unfortunately, only won one. But we have been there. And, it's just the success. That culture that we're trying to build on this team is a level of just sustained success. And we don't want to be happy with coming to the finals and losing. That's just not what we do. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to build this culture up again, because this team is relatively young. I believe it's about 10 to 13 years old, and to get to where we are now is just incredible.
It is
so
really.
I just want to keep seeing that.
It is really cool seeing on Instagram and stuff. You post all the time, either photos with your teammates or highlights of your teammates making plays. Really trying to gas those guys up. That's a really cool thing. I feel like we need to see more of that in the U.S.
Yeah, no, I it's a lot more team oriented over here in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love my teammates. I lost a couple of the ones that have been with me all 5 years are leaving this year. So mm-hmm. a little bit sad. My younger brother basically on the team is going. He's grown up now. He's going his own way. So I wish him the best of luck. So it's there's a lot of camaraderie going on over there.
How have you done with the language barrier and sort of learning and on the fly and figuring it all out while you're there?
I know a bunch of Japanese, but I haven't really learned as much as I want to, and it's a little disappointing. This year I actually hired a tutor for this next year, so I'm going to I will go 5 years without learning the language, but I will be danged if I'm not going six, you know. That is where I put my foot down.
We draw the line.
Go on. So I live in Okinawa, and there's a huge American influence with the military, so almost mm-hmm. everyone there knows English, so it's kind of made it where I don't need to learn it. But I mean, again, I'm always Japanese people are so polite that they'll be like, I'm sorry, I don't speak English. And I'll be like, I'm in your country. Do not apologize that I don't speak your language. Like, please, this is my fault.
They're like, I'm sorry for now, but if you get to year six without knowing, we will not be as nice. Hey, what's it like? I have two more kind of quick questions here. What's it like the first time you're at the mall and you just see this massive poster of yourself?
It's just surreal. I mean, it was, it's just a giant, just double me size poster of me. And I was like, wow, this is something. You're going up the elevators, like the signed autograph things are on the escalators. And like, I don't know. It's just the way this team is just, the fans are so nuts. We can't go to the mall. Like, after we won the championship last year, the team had to make a statement where they're like, hey, if you see them in public, just wave. But please, like, so many of you are running up and taking pictures and asking for autographs, which they're so nice. And I'll always do it. I don't care. But a lot of my Japanese teammates are a little more private with their private life. So, I don't care. And come on. I'll sign everything. So
it's awesome.
That's really, really cool. Yeah. I have a request from our chatty house here, and this is a question we ask basically any guest who's a first timer on the show. What is your favorite cereal?
My favorite cereal. I'll say Lucky Charms. I'll go a little basic. Yeah, you know, it changes. Cinnamon Toast and Lucky Charms are one too. They alternate based on availability.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is delicious.
Mm. Yeah.
I love it.
Very good. But during the year, I don't eat sugar, or I limit sugar intake a lot. So, you know, it's difficult.
That makes sense.
Got to keep that body fine oiled machine.
Well, that was my problem in Sacramento, was I just gained so much weight because it was just, there was a kind teammate that paid for my room service because they were a very nice person. And I took full advantage of that.
And, did they know they did that? Bill?
Yes, they did know that they did that. I did not tell the front desk to put it on their room. So yeah, I gained a lot of weight, and but now I'm, you know, slimmed down a lot this year. So I'm just trying to keep it down. As I get older, you got to stay in shape more. It's better for injury prevention.
No doubt. Yep. That is Jack Cooley, former Sacramento King, a friend of the program, and man, throws a hell of a wedding as well. Jack, we'll do this again soon. All right.
Yes, and Kyle was a peak member of that wedding. So thank you guys for having me.
We were flying around. All right, buddy. Take care.
Good to see you, Jack. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, there he goes. That's Jack Cooley. Former Sacramento King, currently of the Ryukyu Golden Kings. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that pronunciation. But yeah, man, a legend out there in Okinawa and a legend here in Sacramento. Thrilled to have him on the radio program. All right. we'll shift gears. We'll go back to the finals. And a quick little update in the Woj Shams Cold War that we have been keeping you apprised on. That's all coming up next in the second hour right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Hitter.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.